views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. We are delighted to be with you, and in we, I mean myself, Steve Kramer, and my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be with you.
Me too, as always. So listeners, in case you don't know, Spirit Fire Radio is a collaboration between two organizations, between Spirit Fire and the School for Esoteric Studies. Just tell you a bit about Spirit Fire. We're an educational nonprofit, and our focus is on educating people on the importance of consciousness and awareness in everyday life. And we are focused on meditation, study, and service, three pillars of esotericism. Both School for Esoteric Studies and Spirit Fire have their roots in esoteric studies and what's known as the ageless wisdom. We've got our own meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness, which is free and online. And you can find out more about that, about our educational programs and our retreat center in Western Massachusetts at spiritfire.com. And Dorothy, a little bit about the School for Esoteric Studies.
Absolutely. You can find out about us at esotericstudies.net. The School for Esoteric Studies is dedicated to esoteric discipleship training. That is, we work with persons who have a spiritual practice and want to deepen it and become better positioned as world servers. And we, too, use the three pillars. We have meditation, study, and service. And it one of the initiatives that we have is intergroup collaboration with as many different spiritual or esoteric groups we can find where we have shared purpose. And we are absolutely delighted with this particular collaboration with Spirit Fire. It's been really wonderful working with you, Steve.
Oh, it's been wonderful for me as well. And listeners, I hope it's been truly wonderful and enlightening, right? Enlightening as well. I love that word enlightening, because I like to think of light as sort of information, right? And talk radio is so much wonderful information that we get to discern, right, Dorothy? And that's our theme.
Right.
For the month is discernment, and we're going to pick up an amazing conversation that went so fast. I think last week's show went faster than any show we've ever done. Every segment was like, how did that just end? I feel like we just started talking. So we're going to continue. Talking about the Riddle Scale. So you might notice that my co-host is named Dr. Dorothy Riddle, and it's called the Riddle Scale. That's because it is. It was developed by you, Dorothy. So I'm going to let you tell people
a bit
about it. Just before that, I'd love to just say, you know, the reason we're doing this, you know, this system reveals ways that prejudice and discrimination tincture our lives. And so often, you know, we have to endeavor to discern, you know, developing a discerning mind is so important. And as we, you know, one way is we start to examine these subtleties of bias that we have in ourselves and that are in our society, we become the observer, right? We get to learn more about ourselves and develop a discerning mind. And it is through that that we just create a better world, right? We create a world where we can all live together and create together. So, yes.
And the linking of discernment with the Riddle Scale is, I think, a really wonderful linking, Steve, because discernment is about being able to distinguish between and recognize the moral implications of situations. So it's the ability to decide between truth and error, to see clearly, right, and then act on what we see. And discernment is absolutely critical in order to identify and root out prejudice. And unless we understand the prejudice, unless we understand it in its complexity, we're not really in a position to do anything about it. So I'm going to go quickly through the four stages that we talked about last week. For anyone that wasn't with us last week, these are the four negative levels of attitude, and then we're going to get into the other four, the more positive levels today. So we start with
Dorothy.
Repulsion. Yes.
Sorry, I just wanted to mention to listeners, in case, I don't know if we said it or not, but that originally this was developed to analyze homophobia, right? And in case we get into specifics there, and that it has expanded to other social issues, and we talked about that quite a bit in the first show. So listeners, you know, if you haven't heard it, please, by all means, look in the archives and give it a listen. So go on, Dorothy.
Yes, thank you, Steve. And it's been interesting because it's not only myself that sees the application beyond homophobia, but other organizations have purposely created versions that with wording specific to various forms of prejudice, whether ethnic classism, based on religious discrimination, whatever. So we start with repulsion, and one of the things that is critical to understand about repulsion is that this is a level that had kind of gone underground. This is the feeling that the other, whether it's homosexual, black, Jew, whatever the grouping is seen as somehow subhuman, as being against nature, with regard to gays and lesbians, you know, being sick, crazy, immoral, sinful, wicked. And we see this kind of language not only in kind of manifestos or statements about gays, but also, for example, the Heritage Foundation has a study on its website saying that Hispanics or Latinos are lower in intelligence than whites, and that it's unlikely that they would ever reach intellectual parity with whites. And the white nationalists have similar statements or similarly prejudiced statements about Jews. So this attitude that there's something inherently awful, that's where repulsion comes from, that justifies, you know, imprisoning, killing, shocking the other person. That's what repulsion is all about. And unfortunately, it has resurfaced in a very virulent form. The second stage is pity. And this is where the whole idea is that the person is, again, not quite up to snuff. They're not as mature, but they were born that way, and they should be pitied, the poor dears. There's not much that they can do about them, about it. They're going to have a hard life because they're not in the white male mainstream. Then a related stage is tolerance, which is seeing, for example, homosexuality as a phase of adolescent development that people go through and that they grow out of. And if we expand this to other groups, the idea being that they're just not quite as mature as, again, the white male ideal or model. And so here we have policies like don't ask, don't tell, that say, you know, it's I don't want to know about it. It's not really okay, but as long as I don't have to see it, it's, you know, I'll go along with it. And then we have the fourth one, which is acceptance, which is what we were talking about right at the end of the last show, Steve. And so this is it's interesting, you know, because people will say, well, why is this negative? This is negative because this is the attitude that we're just all people together. You know, there's really no issue. And what it does is it makes invisible the actual discrimination that's occurring. It ignores the pain and difficulty that people in target groups are subjected to. Mm-hmm. And I think we were just finishing this discussion, but you, I think, had a thing or two that you wanted to add here, Steve.
Well, I certainly did, and as happened on the last show, we have a minute left before we go to a break. But Dorothy, what came to mind? What I really wanted to ask you about here was that the idea of neutrality. You know, for instance, is just it is that let it be. If we're at the fourth of eight, and the first four are considered in some way negatives, you know, and the second four, which we're going to cover this week, are positives, that are there people in the middle that are just neutral? It's live and let live. And is there sort of a balancing between these two where neutral, we're in the place of neutrality?
But see, I would say that that's the acceptance. Live and let live is completely unrealistic given the amount of prejudice and implicit bias that we have in our society. 94% of people have some form of prejudice. Now, if you can show me that we've gotten down to 3, 4, only 5%, then yeah, maybe we can have a neutral. But I don't think so, Steve.
Well, right.
Not
right.
At 94%.
Because in other words, to be neutral, to say, well, if you want to have a Confederate flag, have a Confederate flag. It doesn't bother me. In a sense, it's irresponsible. I mean, you are a part of a collective consciousness, and you are a part of a collective in so many ways. We could talk about 15, 20, 40 ways you're part of a particular group or collective. And to be neutral is to basically just say, I don't want to get involved, but you are involved, right?
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, listeners,
it's refusing to admit that violence is occurring.
Right. And I know we're not going to get to it on this segment, but you know, Dorothy and I had a really amazing exchange where we talked about the difference between All Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter last season, a couple summers ago. And Dorothy, I hope we can sort of talk about that exchange because it had to do with this idea of acceptance. We'll do that on another show, but we talked about that in acceptance, this idea of All Lives Matter is actually not taking responsibility for the wrongs that have to be corrected. It is our responsibility to correct what has happened and continues to happen in this country in terms of, indeed, Black lives. So we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the four discernments within the Riddle Scale in terms of discrimination and prejudice. So we will be back after these messages.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey, did you know why they call the foundation? It's called the foundation because it completely eliminates your foundation for what you thought your reality was and creates a whole new space where you can have an entirely new reality that is foundationless. So from my point of view, they should call it the unfoundation or the foundationlessness. Either way, there's a big new global rewrite happening again because these guys cannot stop changing. There should be like a Change Anonymous that Gary and Dane go to. And it's happening April 28th to May 1st. You can find out about it at accessconsciousness.com/globalfoundation. It's happening in Paris. Go to Paris or do it online or find a pod near you. These are all the options you have. And what else is possible?
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com. Discover the healing medicine from the giant monkey tree frog Cambo. Cambo practitioner Ginny Rutherford and professional psychic Todd Rolson have come together for lively discussions of alternative healing medicines from the Amazon. Ginny and Todd bring you Cambo Talk Radio. Tune in each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific to hear from guests all over the world with real life stories and the medicinal benefits of Cambo. For more information, visit CamboKiss.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. My co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle, and I have been discussing the Riddle scale and levels of, what would you say? These are, I'm going to let you put it into words. These are classification. Look, I'm going to let you, and then I'm just going to keep going. These are classifications.
Well, they're attitudes.
Attitudes.
See?
I love it. You are. I'm so at ease with discernment. So attitude. So go on. I'm gonna, Dorothy. Let's go on to the next four, which are positive attitudes, as you said, towards, as this scale was created for, towards homosexuality, but really applies across the board in terms of discrimination.
Just before we go. And I want to mention one thing, Steve, because you were mentioning the conversation that we had about Black Lives Matter and the importance of recognizing the violence sometimes below the surface, but that we're all responsible for and we're all responsible for addressing. There is an organization, the Southern Poverty Law Center, that keeps track of hate groups and hate crimes, and works on a number of really critical social issues. What I want to mention is that if you look through the list of hate crimes there, misogyny is not there.
Mm.
And I actually talked with somebody at the center about this, and they said, there's just too much of it. It's everywhere.
Wow.
So let's not forget it, is what I'm saying, as an issue. And in terms of, you know, we're all people together, the genders are not treated the same.
Right. And from your research or even your experience, at the beginning when you were talking about repulsion, and you mentioned mm-hmm. different groups, and right away women came to mind. And I, you know, mm-hmm. I grew up in a, you know, my family and my community was very supportive in every way, and of women, I mean, as equal. I never thought about it in any other way. And so, you know, when I think of examples of that, of repulsion towards a gender, everybody's got a mother at the very least, you know, But it happens. I mean, that exists, right? I mean, that exists.
Well, that's what rape is all about, right? And it could be physical, it can be psychological, is exerting that power over someone that you see as less than you. And that's why I keep mentioning the white male as the ideal, because right. That is the that's what unfortunately we use as a yardstick in our society.
Right, and I guess I was thinking about sort of this idea of unnatural or crimes against nature or something like that in terms mm-hmm. of women, but you know. Once again, you've just got to. It's your responsibility to sort of stretch your mind to say what yes, to know that this happens and to understand in a way how somebody could get to that point of seeing another gender as actually repulsive, even though both genders are responsible for bringing you into the world. It's kind of it's wow.
But you can look at, for example, there are rules in some society about what women who are menstruating cannot do because they're seen as unclean.
Right.
This is not the show on misogyny, but there's a lot of it, and
indeed,
sometime we're going to talk about it.
What I love about all of our shows is it is all discernment. You know, the level at which
That's
we
right.
discerned hope was just fascinating to me to take this simple word.
Yeah.
Discern every quality of hope. So let's continue our discernment. But right there was just a
right.
lovely example of okay, you know, there's a discernment that just happened. So it's lovely. So
yeah.
Dorothy, we're going to
okay,
move on.
Okay, so now we get into the, quote, positive side. And the first one here is I've labeled support. And so this is, to me, the kind of basic ACLU position, and I mean that in a positive sense. The ACLU goes through a lot of bad press, which most of which at least is unwarranted from my perspective, because it's all about upholding the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But the thing in support is that you can do that without necessarily working on your own attitudes. The problem can be out there. And so that's
right.
what the support attitude is all about, is that you work to safeguard the rights of others. And you refrain from being overtly harmful, but you don't necessarily personally act to prevent harm from occurring. So you can... So, you know, send money to the ACLU, they can
right.
go to court. There's all this that's happening at that very general level. But when you're in the parking lot and you see someone beating on someone else, you're not necessarily going to intervene.
And it's this idea that because you sent that check, you support.
You've done it.
You've done it. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's this idea that, you know, that I am a part of a greater group and I will live by these laws, but, you know, where
mm-hmm.
I've got personal choices to make, well, I'm still following the law. I'm not doing anything about it, but I'm not breaking a law. And so it seems like legislation, you know, and education is a part of this. And it makes me think of affirmative action.
Right.
Where you're righting
right.
a wrong. You know, and you see that as support because you realize that, well, this is unjustified and it's actually wrong ethically on every level. So
That's
we
right.
need to pass legislation to correct this. So it starts big and then you've got to get to the personal, which means I've never, you know, if you, well, I can't speak from it because it's just not even my generation really, but to say, well, okay, now here I am in a desegregated school. And I've got to face this, and I've been living as a part of this cultural bias forever. And wow, now it's personal, it's real, you know. And I've got to confront that, you know.
Yeah, and what you know, what you've touched on, which is part of the challenge with this particular attitude, is that while we take actions, you know, like affirmative action and legislation, which is critical. We're not necessarily getting at the attitudes. We're not necessarily changing or shifting the underlying attitude. And so things will not change ultimately until the attitude shifts.
And you know, so, not to be super simple, but until we see each other as human beings, as family, you know, until we see each other as brethren,
right.
until we see each other as a soul, you know, as I see you, I see myself in you, you know, we will not,
that's
know,
right.
simply won't
that's
move
right.
on from this. If there's that, wow, yeah. now I have to deal with you, but somehow you're still separate from me, but you're right beside me. It's just, we've got to lift that veil. So
yeah, absolutely. So that brings us to the next level, which is admiration, which you've actually been describing right now, Steve, which is recognizing the other as a person who is living a life that takes strength, especially if you're from a group that experiences a lot of, that is the target of a lot of prejudice. And so, you know, we start to imagine what it might be like to walk in the other person's shoes and to look at our own attitudes, which is a really important shift.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't necessarily play out publicly. And so here you have, if there's anything, if there's harm that's done, the support that's given is typically private. Again, mm-hmm. it's not public. So it doesn't shift the public consciousness. It just, is quietly supportive on the side.
Yes. And Tim and I have a friend who has said sort of, you know, I can't imagine how hard it's been for you as we talk about our journey, you know, in our lives and how much has changed and how, mm-hmm. you know, how many freedoms came so quickly and sort of rights came very quickly, at least for the gays. All of mm-hmm. a sudden it was just, you know, boom, federal court said, all right, marriage equality is mm-hmm. here. It's now, let's do it. But she'll often say to us, I can't imagine how hard it's been for you. And she means it. You know, she has had mm-hmm. plenty of struggles in her life and there's an empathy, which is, you know, you can respect in a way. And she, and you mm-hmm. can feel that admiration, you know, you can feel that,
right.
that she knows the struggle and says, good for you, you know, and I love you and gays all the more. And she doesn't have any gay family or anything. And we'll often see her, posting things on social media that are all in support of gays. Now that's public though. So maybe that moves on to the next one. I'm not sure.
On to appreciation.
She'll actually just put it out there. And it's as a result of empathy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think the difference that I would make between admiration and appreciation, which is the seventh of the eighth, one of the differentiations is the public-private, you know, because I know, I mean, I've had periods of my life when I've been very much a public target, and people will call me or email me and say, you know, I'm so sorry you're going through this, but they won't write an op-ed piece. You know, they won't call into a radio show. They won't do anything that might make a public difference on the issue.
And that would show, right,
that's the admiration part.
Right. Yeah. So, Dorothy, we're going to go to a break. And then when we come back, let's go deeper into, let's discern the difference between admiration and appreciation and move on to the last. So, listeners, we'll be right back after this break.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
Are you struggling in a relationship and deeply craving some tools and support to get things back on track? Do you crave having a loving, compassionate relationship with Mr. Right, but always seem to pick Mr. Wrong? Well, Sarah Luce can help. She's created a 4-week online course starting September 28th that will teach you how to shift your energy and behavior to have new transformative outcomes. And you're going to get a personal one-on-one session with Sarah to ensure you get powerful personal results. Sign up today at saraluce.com.
Tune in each month to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life, what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
Hello, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are talking about the riddle scale and ways to discern between attitudes about, that we may have, in biases or appreciations or admirations that we're going through different classifications of the riddle scale. And before we left, we were talking about the difference between admiration and appreciation. So, Dorothy, that brought to mind, you know, I will often see Black Lives Matter signs or posters or flags in what I would consider predominantly white neighborhoods. And to me, that is, in a sense, it is support. It is admiration because it is, you know, really, really saying, you know, we were saying, I can see how hard this is for you. This is sort of idea of empathy and concern. But that's quite public. Mm-hmm. But it also seems to be, in a way, sort of like it almost falls into the – we were talking about acceptance, which is it's almost saying, well, I'm a liberal. You know, you were telling a story last week about your father and about this word liberal, and that acceptance can sometimes be, you know, implying that there's something to accept. And to me, that gets close to that, where the word liberal is almost like I'm liberal because I'm moving away from conservatism, that's the norm. You know, I'm being liberal here is like, well, there's only this much, but I'm going to be liberal and give you this much more. Is that making sense?
Well, I think what's happening is we're using liberal in several different ways.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to get ground down into that.
Into the word liberal.
But I think, you know, what you're describing in terms of the signs in a predominantly white neighborhood is really an illustration of that seventh stage of appreciation, where you value the diversity of people, and you see all of the different groups as a valid part of that diversity, whether it's LGBT, whether it's based on ethnic grounds, whether it's on religious grounds, whatever it is, that we are stronger when we are diverse.
Yeah.
You know, when we're not just all the same. And so the difference to me between these two is that private public. So in the admiration, you have the private expression of support, admiration for what the person has done, the personal empathy. But the appreciation comes when there is a public statement of that.
Yes.
And so the person is action-oriented and is doing something out in the open that could stimulate others to also reflect and act.
Yes. It says we're all a part of this. You know, we're all in this together. And affirming
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. And so here you can get into the zero tolerance for the prejudiced jokes, for the casual harm. You are saying, no, it's not okay. And in order to have zero tolerance, you have to be open about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just privately think it to yourself. You have to actually say it out loud.
And do you believe that every person has the capacity to move from the negatives all the way up to appreciation, nurturance? What does it take to move from one to the other? And perhaps we'll talk about this more as we move on in discernment, and perhaps we'll talk about this, about the scale a bit more next week. But, you know, what does it take for someone to realize that it's imperative to act? And that social action is necessary. You know, I can't remain neutral, as we were saying at the beginning of the show.
Well, I think this is true in all arenas, but I'll put it in the gay lesbian context, because that's what comes to my mind, and that's where I've had the most challenging experiences. And that is, I think people change because of someone else that they care about.
Yeah.
I mean, this is why I've spent years, you know, speaking publicly, working publicly on homophobia, is because of a conviction from my own experience that it's not things have to stop being abstract. They need to start being personal.
Yes.
And if somebody respects me or cares about me and then sees me being treated like an object, like someone who's subhuman, they say, wait a minute. You know, there's a dissonance that's created there. But I think it has to have some emotional intensity to it to move someone to act.
Yeah. And you know, for instance, in terms of the gays, it just takes time. It takes time for biases to shift, for wounds to heal, to feel comfortable in your own skin as culture changes and as, you know, new generations come along and there's not as much prejudice as there was, or there has been a shift in people's attitudes and their minds have opened, and because there are many more people out in the open and getting married and just simply being themselves, being human beings as everybody else, you realize that, you know, that there's no difference. I love this human being and I love everything about them. But then it takes that responsibility, right? That is then to say, well, anywhere I see somebody being prejudiced or limiting mm-hmm. anybody's rights, that could be my son or daughter or my best friend's rights being limited.
That's
I need to stand up for this. So it takes a certain level of being willing to step up.
Yeah, I'd like to actually, do we have time for me to share a short story from my own life?
I'll jump in if we need to.
Okay. So at one point in my life, earlier in my life, I was in a community of women. I had gone there for health purposes. It was kind of a retreat for me to recover from some major surgery. And they discovered that I was a lesbian, and they asked me to leave. But they postponed my leaving because I was responsible, along with several other women, for putting on a week-long conference. And so they wanted me to stay through the conference and then leave. And as part of the conference design that we had created, there were small groups that worked together each day. So there was a part of large group activity, and then you had you were with the same small group all week. And fairly early in the week, I don't remember how, one of the women in the group discovered that I had been asked to leave and discovered why. And we had very long discussions. These were women that had never, ever thought about lesbianism or gay lifestyles or homophobia or anything of this. It was quite new territory to them. And at the end of the week, each group needed to share with the other small groups what they had done. And so as we were talking about what we were going to do, one of the women in the group said, "I know what we need to do." She said, "I think we should say, we should be all sitting together, and then one of us should say, would the real lesbian please stand up? And one by one, each of us should stand up, and then Dorothy should be the last one to stand up." Mm. And I said, "Really?" Yeah, I mean, you don't know what you're going to be dealing with. And they said, no, this, we should do this, and we have to follow through. We can't tell people afterwards that this was a lie." I said, "Really?" And they said, "Yeah." And they did it.
Wow.
And you can imagine what happened. This was way before it was okay to be gay in any kind of way. And people were coming up to them and saying, "Does your husband know? You know, this, you know, how can you possibly? I thought you were such a nice woman." I mean, they were getting the full gamut. And not one of them caved.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful show of solidarity, but at the same time, to really get to see, you know, what a beautiful
move. They experienced all of those attitudes firsthand, and we had purposely set a time to debrief afterwards. I said, "I'm going to have this, because you really don't know what you're going to be going through," and so we did have a chance to debrief, and they said, "You know, I thought I understood what this is about, but wow, this is a real eye-opener. I mean, you know, basically, life will never be the same for me again."
Yeah. And did they understand what took place?
I don't know, because I didn't have the opportunity of talking to them.
Yeah.
We talked about, because most of these women knew women in other groups. So we did talk about how they were going to debrief this with their, you know, friends. But I don't know what they actually did.
Well, in a sense, that sounds to me like it's actually even moving beyond, you know, that is supportive. It's admiration. There's appreciation there. But there's something more to that almost, right?
That's right. That tips over into the nurturance, in that you can imagine it was very affirming for me.
Yeah.
For them to choose to do that. And it really changed their lives.
Right.
And that's why I say,
what I was going to say is it's actually nurturing themselves. It's actually nurturing human spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Listen, Dorothy,
let's continue this. We are actually at a break, but I want to continue with this story as soon as we get back. So after these messages, we'll be right back.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend In Silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness meditation retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to the Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship, this hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. I'd just love to go right in and pick up this conversation where we left off, because we were really discerning again these levels or these attitudes from support to admiration, appreciation. And Dorothy, your story, it begs me to ask, when did this actually happen? You know, you say that it was really, they didn't understand the implications of what they were doing. I'm curious what time frame that was.
This was the 1970s. So wow. It was way before, gay issues were in TV shows or, in the popular media at all. And homophobia was alive and well, so to speak.
Yeah.
So it was incredible. And yes, I would consider this actually to be an interesting example of the last stage of nurturance, where we assume that everyone is indispensable, that that it's not just valuing the diversity, but we need each of these different groups, and that we view each other in our differences, in our diversity, with affection and delight, and we are active allies and active advocates. I don't know what happened after that particular conference, Steve, but at least in the context of the conference, those women could not have been stronger advocates than they were. It was amazing.
It makes me think of this movie coming out soon, I think, very soon, The Battle of the Sexes, which was, Billie Jean King. And you think of that a misogynist. I mean, seriously, a misogynist, a public misogynist. And Billie Jean King in that famous tennis match where he basically said, no, you know, I could beat any woman. No woman would ever beat me. And it makes me think of the 70s and what a turning point that decade was, you know, for at least for well, really for humanity. I mean, we really took a look at ourselves and at each other and even forced situations like almost like that, you know, where you say, all right, no, you want to see it. Here it is. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, you know, it's challenging because to bring about this kind of change, the dialogue is absolutely essential.
Yeah.
And yet, it's also important. I mean, I know I get in conversations sometimes about, you know, whether you want to be like in a lesbian only group or a woman only group or that. And there is a level of nurturance that is critical in the sense of not having to always deal with the negative attitudes out there. And yet, if we're not engaged out there, things never shift.
Yes. Well, you know, we talked about compassion the last month, and really, you've got to have the capacity to see the light in another, even if you don't agree with them, and you've got to be out there, basically realizing that we're all indispensable. And that it is only through nurturance and not just, you know, nurturing each other in every regard and nurturing others even through their prejudice for whatever that means. You know, if it means taking action or it means educating or it means just finding a way to have somebody see another human being as just that, you know, as not the color of their skin or by the content of their character, right? That it's necessary. I have to say, Dorothy, when I first read about the Riddle Scale, and I did so on Wikipedia. So listeners, if you'd like to know more about the Riddle Scale, please, by all means, look it up on, just do a Google search for it and you'll see that it comes up on Wikipedia. And I have to say, you know, as a gay man, when I got to admiration, appreciation, when I got to nurturance, I started to cry. I started to bawl. Like I actually started to weep because to imagine a world in which someone saw me as indispensable to our society, which I believe I deserve. I am as indispensable as anyone else.
Exactly.
So moving to me. It was such a sort of, it just brought the distance from which, you know, the experiences I had and the distance I could sense between reality in my lives at certain times to what that would feel like to have felt indispensable at all times. And I just wept, you know, it's like I just let go of the pain and said, well, you know, yeah, I see this perfect world and my goodness, it feels great. And I just let go of a lot of, it was very healing for me to actually read through all this and realize that it is possible, you know, it is true. It is right as rain that we nurture, you know, each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thank you for all of this.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And Dorothy, you know, we're really getting close to the end of the show. So listeners, I hope I'm not cutting you off. And I'm sure if you wanted to say more about nurturance, but I know that we'll actually probably continue talking about the Riddle Scale in certain ways as we talk about discernment. You know, I know this conversation is going to continue and it's a very important month for us. So I just look forward to the continued conversation about how we move beyond. You know, how do we discern truth from falsehood? And that in its own is a whole entire year of discussion. So just to the listeners, that this will go on, this conversation.
And I look forward to it, Steve.
Yeah. Any final, you know, we have a couple minutes left. Any final words just about, I'd love to hear ways in which the Riddle Scale, you know, have you seen, shifts. You know, we talk about the word service. Listeners might not even know what that means, that, you know, in esotericism, there is, we talk about study. Well, that's an easy one to understand. We talk about meditation. Well, okay, you can learn to meditate, but service, you know, creating this mm-hmm. scale is a service. This is a service to humanity. You know, we all are of service. And I'm just wondering if just in your own words or from what you've heard, how has this created change in certain ways? How has this scale been of service?
Well, it's interesting. I keep getting correspondence from people that are using it or want permission to use it or want permission to make changes. It's being used. There's an elementary school version where it's used. In talking about race relations or, you know, social issues type things. And the ethnicity issue is probably the most common. The most recent one is a woman who wrote me and said that she wanted to do a trans version of it, which she did. She shared with me. So what I've come to understand from the correspondence from people is that by breaking it down this way, it helps people discern the nuances and helps them examine themselves and decide on changes that they want to make. And for people that are interested in my book, Positive Harmlessness in Practice, there is a variation on this which is specific to harmlessness. And there's actually a little quiz you can take for yourself to see where you would fall on the harmlessness scale. Again, in 8 categories.
Beautiful. Well, Dorothy, thanks so much for going deep into this work. I've looked forward to these shows for quite some time. It's been really, really enjoyable. And, you know, it is a spiritual path, is it not, Dorothy? You know, we've got to learn to look at ourselves. We've got to learn to see ourselves very clearly. And that is the way we will evolve. You know, we will unfold into a more perfect world. Well, we'll continue this conversation on discernment next week for our third installment. I look forward to it, Dorothy. And again, listeners, if you'd like to hear the archives, if you didn't hear last week's show, spiritfireradio.com has got links and our archives at that site. So check it out. All right, Dorothy, it's been just such a treat. And we will talk again next week.
Yes. Take care.
Right. Bye, listeners.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern for your weekly guide to purposeful living in practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.